Let us pray.
Hallelujah.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come here today with our hearts open and our minds open, and just let us bring in whatever you've got to bring to us today, whether that be from a song or from the message or from a scripture reading. Lord, let us be open to hear your word today. As the song just sang, all for love's sake, you became poor. We can't even imagine of doing that. We think we do things for others, but you did the ultimate sacrifice of coming to this earth, becoming human, becoming poor, but yet giving us everything from doing that. You are altogether lovely, worthy, and wonderful to me. And we will never know how much it costs. And we worship and we bow down and we praise that you are my God. Amen.
Amen. You send the kids?
Oh yeah, the kids can go on downstairs for Sunday school if they want to go down to children's church.
Guys, today we're going to do something different. I'm going to ask you to sit for a little bit. Now, this is normally a time when we walk around and greet each other, and I just have a different plan, and I hope you bear with me. We have a few visitors here that I like to recognize. Louise and Jan are visiting with us. Louise was visited before, and we're just glad to have them back. And there is a couple here. Yes.
This is our friend Bob and Sally Acosta. We go way back.
All right. All right. No, you shouldn't have said that. And then we have another visitor that her little daughter was around, and she was greeting everybody. I think that she stepped out, but that's all right. And we also have Rhonda. Yeah,
why don't you turn this?
I believe you guys are missionaries elsewhere? Or
no,
they're just, okay.
What was the name? Tim and
Sheila. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like I said, I'm going to ask you to take the programs that you have and toss them to the side. Uh-oh. I see that. I see that. wait a minute. What are we going to do now? I just wanted to have some time just to share with you, just to speak with you a few things. Don't worry. We will have time to greet each other and hug each other and do that in a little bit. But as you know, we're looking forward to a very important event in the history of the church, right? And that is
Easter.
All right. And we've asked and requested that you pray. We've asked and requested that you also participate. And I have a few people that have already talked to me about participating in the service. It's going to be different. We're going to, again, toss away programs and just go for it. So we need a few more brave people. I think Shirley's already mentioned that she can be here, Jordine, a few others. If you are interested, again, I'd like to talk to you after the service just for a little tad of time, okay? All right? Scott, you're in. I don't care what you say.
Hey, as long as I'm speaking.
All right. Now, part of the reason why I wanted to do this is because over the past year, I've been struggling with some things, and I truly feel excited, but I also feel very, very freaked out. I don't know if you understand that feeling, right? When you're excited about something, but since you don't know what it is, it's like, right? You know, like you're coming over some kind of a roller coaster or something. That's sort of similar how I've been feeling about this. As you may know, that it was 4 years ago that I first preached in this church. It was actually the last weekend of February. And I've survived, and you've survived me, so I think that's something to celebrate, right? Who would have known, right? Who would have known that you guys would be able to handle a Puerto Rican? So it's been 4 years, and the first 3 years of ministry here at Mount Air was just mainly trying to find my sea legs, right? You know, landing in here and trying to find out what the community was going on, was doing, and doing some activities and things, and really trying to learn about the community, learn about the congregation, learn about some people that were before us and before me. Joel's one of them, and Travis. I really stand on their shoulders as they have done a lot of the foundational work of what we are into now. And they really took some risks, right, and challenged the church a little bit. And then we went on to Dream, and perhaps some of you remember that last year, just about this time, I told you guys something really crazy. Nah, you don't remember. I mentioned to you that sometimes we see things with our eyes, right? And they seem impossible, right? But with God, all things are possible, right? And I mentioned to you that maybe this church, this small congregation that you see, was going to be a catalyst for starting churches in this area. Do you remember that? All right? And I mentioned to you that imagine if Mount Air Christian Church was the thing that God was looking for and put in motion to start 4 churches in the metro area. Right? And that's exactly what you said to me. You're nuts, Pastor. Yeah, it was crazy. And as a matter of fact, I remember that after I said that, things started to break down. My body started to break down. I mean, we lost our secretary and went to New Mexico, and we started looking for that. We were looking for a worship minister for ages, and nothing was clicking. I said, "Lord, really? I mean, you mean to tell me that you show this possibility to me, and then all of a sudden, nothing is working. Nothing is working. What's going on?" And really, I was scratching my head, and all of a sudden, we started to get some of these positions. We have a new secretary, Ann, who's been helping us a lot. And then we found Rhonda, or Rhonda found us. Right?
It was a collision.
It was a collision. That's what it was. So I mean, some things started to work out, and in the middle of all this, I had my back problems, and I've been dealing with some things at home, and truly, I've been sort of desperate. I tell you, emotionally, is you know how it is, right? When you have dreams, expectations, and they don't come through. You're like, you know, maybe I'm rushing myself, and maybe I'm doing something wrong, and I was doing everything wrong, so that was all right. But last weekend, I went away, and I was at a conference for New Church Starts, and we had speakers, we had workshops, and you know how it is when you pile up a lot of things in 3-4 days, right? There's just so much, a lot of information that is on, and I started to feel this anxiety. You know, sort of like saying, remember what I said? And I'm like, yeah, but God, look, you know, look what's happened. And then I remembered something. I remembered that it is not the things that we see, not even the things that we experience, that predict the future. Come on, people, that was a place. I've been training you guys for 4 years now. Amen, there you go. All right. Yeah, I need to hear back from you. If I'm not, all right, I'm lost. So, I'll speak a little bit more of this in a minute, but I think it relates to the text that we're going to be reading, and I think Regina has it up there, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 and on. And it says, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. "And the discernment of the discernment I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? And where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. The world did not know God through wisdom." "God decided through the foolishness of the proclamation to save others who believe. For Jews demanded signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. And God's weakness is stronger than human strength." And this is what I was thinking. You know, maybe I've taken on too much. I know that sometimes this may be confusing, but I'm a doer. I want to do things. And I think I was mistaken, because I thought that was wise. That if you do all these things, then things will work out. Now, you know that a lot of what is going on around us is all about debate, division, and a lot of other D's, disasters, and all kinds of stuff, right? Whether God is true or God exists, whether science is the one that should lead us on, right? Well, we know what happened with that in the middle of last century, right? 2 world wars and atomic bombs and all that stuff. We've decided that it is a matter of technology. Ta-da, right? Technology is now the thing, right? What's in. And we've been then used to having all these devices on us. I'm the culprit, right? I'm the first one. And somewhat the church has been involved in all this, and we've also struggled. Now you probably have heard a lot of the LGBTQ, S, plus wars, right? That we've had around it. Who should be in and who should be out? I mean, this is part of the stuff that we've made Christianity about. And my question to you today is, where's Jesus in all this?
Amen.
Where is Jesus? What is Jesus trying to tell us and show us? Is this what we should be doing? Or is there something else that you and I have been called to do? Now, you know that we've been working on Mark for a few weeks now, right? And we've sort of gleaned some things about what Mark is telling us about Jesus and what he did. And I think that one of the main things is that there is this word that keeps repeating around that text. Proclamation. Right? You remember? He came to proclaim good news to the people. Good news. Is that to be celebrated? Right? I don't know about you, but people in Denver and Colorado get excited about football. Right? Man! I had the opportunity of being one game last year. I was like, whoa. People are excited even if they're losing. Do we get excited about the good news? Do we get excited about God's and what God is doing in us? What he has done? And what he continues to do and guide us through and let us experience. I don't know about you, but I'm like, man, this is something that we should be advertising, right? We should be proclaiming this left and right when we leave this place from morning to night.
Amen.
Now, that sounds good. But Pastor, you know better. You know how it is, right? You know, we get on with our lives, we go to work, and we have to deal with life every day. So I have a question for you. Which is better, to deal with life on our own or to deal with life with God by our side? I think so too, right? So if we imagine ourselves as people who are the people that are called to proclaim the good news, and we imagine ourselves as having God by our side all the time, then that means that we can be not only in conversation with God and praying all the time, but we can also share what that means to us. I heard one amen here. Maybe there's another one somewhere. Okay, I knew this was going to happen. This is what's happening to a lot of the mainline churches nowadays. And guess what? The evangelical church is copying the mainline churches. And by mainline churches, I mean, you know, the historical churches, the Methodist, the Lutheran. We are making experience with God whatever, but not proclamation. We have made this thing about us. I know I'm meddling. I know. I'm messing with you because that's my intent. We're getting too comfortable in these pews. You know what? I was thinking, you know, maybe it is that we don't have young people. Who agrees with me? I'm young too, brother. But you know, sometimes we go there, right? Man, if we had more families, if we had more kids, I want to ask you and challenge you with something. What if we had a bunch of 50 pluses in here that were gung-ho for the Lord?
Amen.
Ooh. Right? What if? So what's happening? And again, this is not criticism. Please hear me. I've struggled with this myself. I put on so much on myself that I've forgotten that that's not my job. I tell you, I've forgotten. That's really not my job. And I was thinking about this brother in Georgia in the church. He told me something that really, he messed me up. You know, he says, Pastor, I have a question for you. He says, okay, yeah, go for it. Now, he had been a pastor, an elder in the church. I love this guy. He passed away. He's Mari Gautier. He says, let me ask you something. Is it the shepherd or is it the sheep that procreate? You see, this is a tendency with pastors and ministers. We got to do it all. And we think that we actually have to do things for you. But as far as I know, the shepherd cannot procreate. The shepherd can do what he's supposed to do, right? Which is lead him to eat. Help them find the food. Have shelter, right?
Yes.
But the other part is up to the sheep. You with me?
Yes.
Now, have you ever seen somebody milking the shepherd? Right? Milking the farmer. And this is what I'm trying to say. I think that we have gotten into a mode where we've allowed the world and the wisdom of the world to dictate who we are. And we've become those that are antagonized. Those who are supposed to be doing certain things. And we even have people in the street that tell us that. We have a gal who comes in here and he says, hey, I need to use the phone. I need to use the restroom. I need to do this. I need to have food. I need to have that. And when you say, well, we're closing the doors right now, you know what she says? You're supposed to be the church. And the same church is supposed to do this. It's supposed to do that. It's supposed to do that. And here I am thinking, who in the world told you that? I mean, do you see that announced anywhere? That we're supposed to be here to do whatever you want us to do? Or what is it that we're supposed to do? What are we called to do?
Preach the word.
Now we preach with our hands and feet. Don't get me wrong. But the thing is that we're allowed the outside to tell us what's supposed to happen here on the inside. Oh, great, I have so much time. I'm looking forward to the day when Mount Air Christian Church will worship on the streets. And this is what I mean. Again, we think that Sunday morning is the time for worship. Wrong. There's nothing in scriptures that says that that is the time for worship. As a matter of fact, if we consider this God, the God that I think he is, we're supposed to be worshiping God every day with everything that we have. With all who we are, day in and day out. And we're supposed to be reaching out to those who are around us and telling them that we had joy in our lives because God entered us. But of course, I'd rather have it done one day a week, right? I'd rather have it done at a specific hour, especially on Sunday morning, so that I can go to the game or watch the game in the afternoons. It makes sense, doesn't it? I know, I'm being harsh. But what is worship anyway? He took the wise of the world and he made them look foolish. Through those who were foolish enough to hear his word. And this I tell you because when I was at this conference, I heard some things that really, really challenged everything that I stood for. I heard people in the mainline churches saying, we need to look to what the evangelicals have been doing all these years. And I'm like, what? Weren't we the ones that were saying, oh, these guys, you know, they're doing all this weird stuff. And now the evangelicals are saying, the mainline churches, we need to look to others to see what they're doing. Now, don't get me wrong, like I said, the evangelical church is also having their own troubles because they have missed the boat. And for the first time in 25 years, I heard in this conference that we needed to evangelize the world. That's exactly how I was. I was shocked. Because we have associated evangelism with knocking on doors and having leaflets put in people's hands and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, right? And that if they don't come to church, they're going to hell. Right? And guess what? The world said, I'm locking the door, you stay outside, I'm home, man. I don't want to hear that. But I've learned that evangelism is not necessarily that. Evangelism is about what Jesus did. And Jesus did sit down with people, right? Yeah. And Mark, we have read and heard that he called Matthew persona non grata, right? He wasn't in the in crowd. And he called him and says, hey, follow me. Next thing we know, he's sitting at the table with him. And not only with him, but with his buddies and his friends. And the friends were not the people that you wanted to have around you. And the wise of the world, the scribes, the lawyers, were saying, he's wrong. He's wrong. Who is this guy sitting with publicans and tax collectors? And sinners. And Jesus was just sitting there, and I guess he was having fun with them. He was eating the stuff they were eating. He was drinking the things that they were drinking, and he was establishing a relationship with folks who really needed him. He said to them, I didn't come for the righteous. I didn't come for the ones that are in here. I came for the lost, for the ones that are hurting, for the ones that are in trouble, for the ones that are looking for hope, for the ones that need me. And I was shocked. And I tell you, that night, I'm a fairly stoic person. For a Puerto Rican, I'm not that emotional, okay, guys? I can tell you how it is back home. I'm fairly stoic. But last weekend, I broke down. I don't know why. I was sobbing and crying inside. I says, you know, and asking God, what is this? This is not me. And he was saying, dummy, of course it's not you. That's because you need me. And you need to fall in love with me, not with the church. That's tough to hear, right? It's tough to hear. Because Jesus is the one that is sitting there and standing there and just, hey, what are they doing? What are they doing? Guys, I'm here. Three 3:00 in the morning, and there I am. Ruth, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. What is Jesus saying? Maybe we have abandoned our first love. You remember that? Maybe we have looked elsewhere for the models of how church should be. Maybe we have allowed the academics to tell us what is right. Hello? Maybe we have allowed the books to do the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. I got books. You want some? The point is this. I think Mount Air Christian Church is doing work. I know. I mean, I see Mary Riney, Mary Ann, I see Joanne. We have prayer warriors here. Ellen, I don't know if Ellen and Dave have emptied themselves in this place. I mean, we have Pat, we have deacons, we have Shirley running around, and I know we're doing. But are we being? Are we being? Light of the world, who came down. And I heard somewhere, I don't know if in this book that we have, that you don't take a light and put it under and hide it away. Because then it doesn't have, it doesn't do its function. And I would like for Mount Air to think of itself, not as it has thought of itself for many years. This is a new day. This is a new time. And there's new troubles out there. There are things that are going outside of this world that I truly don't know how to deal with them, but we're going to expose ourselves to that. We're going to have to. We're going to have to. Because there is a world out there that is needing Christ. Luis came today, and I was like, yeah, I know you. I remember that face, and I cannot forget a face, that's my thing, but names do not ask me. But I remember, she says, you know, and I've been looking for a place, right? And I've been looking. And we're here, guys. We're here. We're in this neighborhood. We want to be in this neighborhood. We're doing a lot of good things in this building. There's a lot of activity that is happening. As a matter of fact, I'm having trouble with Beatrice now because she can't find a time where she can clean the church. And I said, man, I forgot about you. You're one of the most important people here. But what are we going to do? I don't know much. There are a lot of things that we can do. I'm going to share some with the board this Thursday. But I want you to start thinking about this. Easter is a great opportunity for the church to shine. It's a great opportunity. And I know that people are busy and family are going here and there. We're going to do something different. It's not that I know what we're doing, but we're going to work on what it is. But what we're going to really do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit just explodes in this place. Whatever we do, that it not be because we're great or because we can do a lot of things, but that it may be because God is present in this place. And people may sense that. That people may hear that. And that people may see that there is hope for this world. Right? Man, we got so much time. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to move on. We're going to collect our offerings. And today you're going to give three times what you normally do. No, yeah, that wasn't part of the sermon, guys. That was your joke, okay? But truly, I want you to think about this. What is it that we're going to do? And what do we need to do differently for the honor and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? And that starts with who we are. Rhonda and Sophia, we're going to sing a song. You've heard it before. And I hope that you can sing with us. If not, just pray, listen to the words, and see what the Lord speaks to you.